I read somewhere that it will be hard to undo the conventional wisdom from election night. That moment when James Carville said, "This isn't a wave election." I was watching MSNBC when he said that, and I had a couple of thoughts, many thoughts actually. First of all, I'd love to say to him, "Look, James, I'd be willing to bet you're not a sports fan." Because no sports fan would ever say something like that. I mean, at that point, the polls hadn't closed in three quarters of the country. All there were, maybe he had access to the exit polls, but we sure didn't. And I thought, this is ridiculous. I mean, I also wondered whether he saw something because he's a political expert and I'm, a citizen. And, but I thought it was wrong. And I thought it was way too early to say that. And it's an insider-y type thing. But boy, it stuck. And then, because I read all of the articles that were written overnight about the election, about how it wasn't a wave election, how the Democrats need to get their shit together, and this isn't, their shit is not together, and look what happened in the Senate, blah, 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 blah. And I thought, wow, these guys. So I sat down to write a piece because and it was so frustrating because as I wrote it, I understood this is never going to be part of the conversation. Nobody in, there's a manufacturing organization for conventional wisdom, and it's usually has nothing to do with reality, and I'm not going to be part of that conversation. So everything I say here is just so that later on I can say I told you so. Of course, nobody will care about that either, nor should they. But we should learn, and that's the reason why. First of all, learn what happened, what actually happened, and then learn why it's okay to feel good about it. It really is to enjoy the high, and then to study. You don't just study your game tapes in football or basketball or any sport. You don't just look at them when you lose. You also look at them when you win. And it's more fun to watch them when you win than when you lose. And there's a reason it's more fun, because that's what you're always trying to do. And you really ought to study those every bit as much as you study the ones when you lose, because learn how to win. Learn what you did that made it work. What had to happen? How close did you come to losing? Maybe you didn't come close at all. That was the thing about Tuesday night. I almost said the Mets, but the Democrats didn't even come slightly close to losing. When you see the actual numbers, this was put up by Nate Cohn, I think is his name, at the New York Times. He called it a blue wave yesterday, and what he showed was fascinating. This is something you wouldn't have known on election night, is that even in districts that were gerrymandered to be solid Republican and where the Republican won, the switch from Republican to Democrat was on average 10%. I think it was. I think it was on average it was 10% swing. So if a district had been, say, 20% for Trump or for the incumbent 2 years ago, that means that, let's see, 20% in favor, difference, then it would only be 10% this year. So it wasn't a regional change. It wasn't just in a few places that got the Democrats a few more seats. It was across the board. You don't need, and so the thing to remember is that 10% of the people, let's see if I get this right, yes, 10% of the people who voted for Trump voted for Democrat this year. They gave up on him. They voted against him. That's very significant. That shows that something that makes just so much as they said on Saturday Night Live, it almost makes too much sense. Is that what's happening is people are eventually seeing through his bullshit. They're seeing through, they're not immune, they're not completely immune to con artists, and eventually they realize they're being conned. You know, there's more evidence of that. In Florida, a state which has been very Republican and responded very well to Trump, they also passed a ballot measure that says that that felons can now vote. Now, that's a very liberal thing they voted for. And across the board, one of the lessons that people have learned, the Democrats have learned, is that it's better just to be yourself. And if you have some ideas that don't test as being popular, still talk about them and explain why you like them. It's choking me up a little. And the reason, and they figure the reason this works is that people like it when they tell you the truth. When you tell them, this is how I feel about something, people, compromise is built into American nature, if not human nature. There's this understanding, I'm not going to get everything I want, and that's okay. I have that feeling. It actually makes me emotional to think that I believe that. It's like, I know I'm not going to get everything I want. I don't want everything I want. I want us to have some things we agree to in common that we never deviate on under no circumstances. We never try to suppress the vote. I would be a member of a party that included people who had diametrically opposite positions to me on things like healthcare. I mean, I felt very, very strongly, because I have a very big pre-existing condition, and I also was very, in my youth, was sort of, I tuned out healthcare, I tuned out health insurance, and I guess I got lucky in a sense, because I did get sick, but the way things worked out, I was able to just squeeze in and kept my insurance until Obamacare took over, at which point I've been an Obamacare customer ever since it came out. I was an enthusiastic Obamacare customer. I bought the expensive option, even though I knew that it didn't make good economic sense to do that for me personally, because I wanted to pump money into the system. The same way I buy a city bike card every year, even if I'm not using it a lot, I still feel good about putting money into that, because that's an important cause for me. It's all related to good change, and you know, it's okay if other people don't put the money in. You know, we have differences, and we accept that, and that is the fundamental foundation of our system of government. And yet our politicians give speeches that seem to imply that we believe the exact opposite. So when there's a wave of Tea Party representatives elected to office, we assume that the people who voted for them are just the same, have the same principles, but they don't. Because they'll also turn around 4-8 years later and vote for Obama. It's so obvious, and people really ought to factor this into their thinking, that the people vote for politicians who make them feel good about themselves. It's just that. And Trump, if you're not paying, I didn't want to say that. Trump makes some people feel very good. They vote for him. But over time, the curtain pulls back and people get, sooner or later they realize they've been had. And when you see a state of Florida vote in favor of a very liberal proposal, and this happened across the country, when asked questions about policy, people are very liberal in the United States. They really are. And it's just when a politician whips them up to, you know, and implies that, oh, well, Obamacare is terrible. If people really knew what Obamacare was, if they weren't lying to them, the answer is they would be just as likely to love Obamacare, except the people that they listened to told them it was bad. And, you know, I've been there. You know, how do you know who to believe? You know, when I was young, I believed some pretty crazy shit. And so, I don't know. It's It's important to savor the victory. It really, that was my point. That was the reason why I got on here to talk for a few minutes, is that what worked was we compromised. I voted straight party line Democrat in New York State. I don't like Andrew Cuomo. I don't like the whole Cuomo family, and I've been in New York, at least observing New York politics my entire life, and there's history there. The Cuomos are, you know, Mario Cuomo was, I think, a much more appealing politician than Andrew is. He gave a fantastic speech at the Democratic Convention. That's his father. But they also ran a really dirty campaign. I mean, a kind of campaign that you shake your head and you go, how could they live with themselves after having done that? I mean, you know. So, but I voted for him anyway, because who said it? I don't remember. But the politics isn't love letters, it's chess. you may not want to sacrifice the rook, but if it means in two moves you get to take the queen, what the fuck? But the thing to watch out for is when you have full control of everything and when the other party isn't willing to come to the table. That was the moment which things really screwed up here. Was when the Democrats waited and compromised to try to get some Republican support for the Affordable Care Act. And the Republicans, even when the Democrats basically gave them the exact plan that they specified, they had think tanks working on this stuff, the Republicans. What did the Republican think tanks come up with? Obamacare. It's the rational answer. It could have gone further. It should have gone further. It should have gone further since it's been such a success. All this a sane society would have done. Yes, maybe we would have argued about it. Maybe the people who thought it would bring in a terrible wave of socialism and poverty and moral, depravity and all the rest of that, we would have listened to them. And then we would have made a decision. They might not have been happy with the decision. But if they were good people, they would have looked to see what actually happened, and they would have realized they were wrong. That it didn't change the nature of the country, it just made us a little healthier and happier and a little bit more confident about our future and less angry and isolated and less broke. It's insurance, for crying out loud. It's health is the kind of thing that has to be insured. You have to pay up front for it. It makes no sense to do it any other way. I've written about this. I've been through this. It's pure simple arithmetic and probability. It's more math than most people with college degrees take. But it is not hard to understand. Insurance is something you need to buy. You need to buy homeowners insurance because somebody could trip on your walkway and break their neck, and you couldn't afford to pay what has to be paid for that. You need auto insurance because that's a big, heavy machine you're driving around, and if it meets up with a human body, it kills it. And you need to be able to compensate those people, or maybe it just injures a bunch of people, and they need health care. And so you need to be able to pay for that. It happens so rarely that it's the kind of thing that nobody needs to be prepared to pay the whole thing. What you need to be able to do is pay your share of it. And that's what insurance is for. So the Republicans eventually got the message. That was a big part of this election, and it wasn't an insignificant part. The voters voted on a very important issue. And they voted the right way. They are dragging the Republican Party. Instead of the Republican Party leading, what's happening is the electorate is leading. Now, if that isn't a failure of leadership, I don't know what is. And the Republicans are going to have to be a lot more careful now, and I'm sure they got the message that people weren't going to be fooled by their bullshit about Obamacare forever. At some point, they were going to understand that actually Obamacare was a very good idea. Now the Republicans, McConnell was saying, fucking idiot. If I were a Republican, I mean, people think McConnell is so smart. He was fucking crazy. The day before the election, or 2 days before the election, days before the election, that guy gets up and says, well, the first thing we're going to do when we get back is we're going to get rid of that Obamacare. We're going to try that again. That was my Mitch McConnell impression. And I go, what kind of an idiot says something like that? I mean, by that point, the polling was already showing very clearly that healthcare was the... It was, and I don't think it was just healthcare. It was the fact that none of the things that Trump likes to say, promises made, promises kept. Yeah, bullshit. No, they weren't kept. And aside from that, people know, they haven't kept the massacres that are taking place in the United States during the Trump presidency. They haven't not been covering them on Fox News. And people must have noticed that these were all white American, I think they were all Christian too, by the way, FYI. I don't think the guy who shot up the Pittsburgh synagogue, I don't think he was Jewish. Yeah, no, he wasn't, of course. And that's why Clinton failed so badly. She really did fail, folks. People who say that, well, you know, she got more votes, that's like saying at the end of a baseball game you lost that I got more hits. It wasn't the point. It isn't how the game is played. You have to play it so that you get more electoral votes, because if you get more popular votes and less electoral votes, you go home a loser. And it wasn't just the tactics that she blew. It was the fact that that she was so... She was so trying to hide her real self. And what we've learned is that it's much better if a politician tells you what they really think. She got burned, and she drew the wrong lesson. There was a classic line that she... this was the real Hillary Clinton, by the way. Back when, I think she was first lady, very newly minted first lady, No, this is when the first time Bill Clinton ran for the presidency. And they asked her some question about, I don't remember what the question was, but her answer was, well, I'm not the kind of woman who sits at home and bakes cookies all day. And that blew up on her. Everybody goes, oh my God, she's like, what a fucking asshole, et cetera, et cetera. Well, she told the truth. She's not the kind of mom who stays at home and makes cookies all day. Or whatever. She said other things too. It's the truth. And if you really wanted more of the truth, you'd realize that she was half the reason Bill Clinton got elected. Bill Clinton is a really smart guy. But you know what? They're both really smart. And the fact and they care. And they're flawed. And certain people got hysterical about what she did. And what she took away from that was she has to hide who she is. And it happened over and over again. Once they found out that she was vulnerable to that she didn't have her confidence in herself to just say, you know what, I told the truth, you don't like it, fuck you. Now, you know who does say that, right? I mean, who took that to all the way to the nth degree that he's sick, he's so bad at it, good at it, or whatever you want to say, is like, he doesn't give a shit what you think of him. Although he kind of does, Trump. But, or maybe that's all he cares about. But I think that's what people liked about Trump, is that he doesn't make excuses for himself. He doesn't care that you don't like him. He doesn't care that you think he's stupid. And people who have been accused of being stupid, like a role model who doesn't put up with it, doesn't take that, doesn't take it on. And whether or not people have literally said that the red state voters are stupid people, they've certainly implied it. And as, you know, just normal human beings, they can pick up the disregard, the disrespect. I pick it up, and I'm an East Coast guy, you know. I mean, I get it. I'm terribly angry with the the opinion leaders in our country, because they get it so wrong, because they're so focused on themselves that, you know, even when things are going to hell, all they can think about is the advancement of their careers. I'm sure that's all they're thinking about. Maybe 10% they're worried about the future, but most of the time they're thinking about how they can get ahead or how they can stay where they are. And there comes a point when that shouldn't be the overriding concern. And you should say, well, I don't have all the answers. Maybe I ought to listen to some people who think that they do have some of the answers. You know? Those of us who do listen to other people and seek out other opinions, I think we can generally point to the moment when we learned that that was important. And if you can't think of that moment in your life when you learned that you would do better if you actually listened to what other people's experiences were, then you have something wonderful to look forward to. Because that really is a big moment. It's a big change. It's a big difference in perspective. And I believe this time around, we elected some political leaders who really do spend time thinking about what... They do pay attention and they do listen. It's not to say I think that Hillary Clinton doesn't listen. She does. But the one person she doesn't listen to well enough is herself. And that showed through. That we felt that. We understood that as voters. And some of us, most of us, in fact, if we had those doubts, and I certainly did, we just went right through them. We said, well, yeah, but I'm not going to vote for a con artist or a know-nothing, a person who is probably compromised and owned by the Russians. I think I can do with a little bit of her discomfort with herself. I think that's okay. So, anyway, 21 minutes is enough for one day. So, thanks so much for listening. This is Dave Weiner. It is, I forgot to say, it's Friday, November 9th. And talk to you later. Bye-bye.